every Palm Sunday, year after year, we face the reality that Jesus, through his birth, life, and death, fulfilled many, many dozens of prophetic words written down throughout the Old Testament. What do I mean by prophetic words? It's where God had spoken to the prophets and said, in the future, this is going to happen. And some of those have been written hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years beforehand. But what we see with Jesus is they come true. I think it's really interesting too how specific some of those prophecies were. So thank you. So I'd like to look at this one, Zechariah 9:9. This was written approximately 520 years before Jesus was born. And it says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation. He's lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." Now, as I have grown and talked to various people over the years as a Christian, I've spoken to people, they say, oh yeah, but Jesus knew what all these prophecies were about. So he just sort of made sure he did the stuff that would make them come true. Not so sure. Think how difficult would it be? There are five, just in this one prophetic word, there are five very specific things he would have had to do. First, he would have had to organize all of the crowds, the rejoicing and the shouting and the worshipping for the happiness of his arrival. Next, it specifically states that the entrance of the awaited Messiah is going into Jerusalem. Okay, maybe he could have fixed that bit. Then, it says that he is exalted as a king. There's an implication that he's recognized by the Jewish people as the king of the Jews, that this is the chosen Messiah. Then he is just, having salvation, and lowly. This means he's humble. He brings salvation of the soul. That's not so easy to work up, is it? And then finally, he's riding on a colt. This is a really unusual, specific action, which would be incredibly strange for an honored king, but more on that later. So what happens on what we know as Palm Sunday? I wonder how many of you have got excited when a band or a famous person comes into town. Just think about, this was, for my generation, Beatlemania. The crowds went mad. Nowadays, it might be perhaps screaming fans at an Ed Sheeran concert, Taylor Swift, Ariana Grande, Harry Styles, maybe Stormzy or Drake. I bet that's the first time Drake gets a mention on a Palm Sunday sermon. You see, the visit of someone famous, a rock star, a sports star, a movie star, always seems to draw a cheering crowd. People love to celebrate those that bring them some kind of inspiration, some kind of words of hope, something that was outside of themselves, some escape. So let's go back 2,000 years. Who were the rock stars then for the people of Jerusalem? Well, it certainly wasn't any political leader. The ties that they had to Rome only brought oppression. No, they were the enemy. They were the cruel, nasty people that ruled over them. So with no TV, no social media, no entertainment channels, no mobile phones, what was left? What brought the people then hope? Well, any teacher, any prophet that could bring them hope, anyone that could help to establish them to be free from the dominance of the oppressors, well, they'd be popular. But what about a supernatural person? A person that brought healing and miracles and rose people from the dead and cured sickness and produced bread out of thin air that could calm a storm. Well, yeah, they would draw a crowd. And you see, this is Jesus. He was a special, special guy, and the crowds got talking and the word went out. And it was almost like today an urban legend might spread. Word of Jesus spread throughout, from town to town and into Jerusalem itself. Could this possibly be? Could this be what they've been waiting for all this time? The Savior, the Messiah, the amazing miracle working wise teaching who was fulfilling the prophecies of old was coming into town. And you've got to understand that for the religious people, for the Jews, they were desperate for the Messiah to come. They were reading all their ancient scriptures. They were reading and searching for every prophecy. Is it happening? And then the common man got the news that this guy fits all of the descriptions. He matches up. This is probably him. This is probably what Zechariah prophesied. Jesus is arriving in Jerusalem.
Who is this Jesus of Nazareth?
He's a prophet, a great prophet.
A prophet? On a donkey?
Blessings to the healer of the sick! You have come to deliver us! Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews!
Isaiah said, Jerusalem, daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, humble and meek.
Honor to the Lord, son of David.
Master, you are the hope of Israel.
You are our prophet and our savior.
I don't think Jesus was quite as squeaky clean as that and freshly washed with clear blue eyes. But you get the picture, don't you? It would have been chaotic. What does the Bible say about this? Well, Matthew 21 and verse 1 onwards says, "Now, when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples saying to them, 'Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them. And immediately he will send them.' All of this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, 'Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey.' So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and they brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road, and others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? This report by Matthew includes the prophecy that we're focusing on today. It's the record of how Jesus got hold of the donkey in the first place. And notice no one yells out or screams after him, Oi, stop it messing around with that donkey. Now I want you to imagine you taking off your coat right now, standing up, going outside and laying it down on the road as a man on a donkey with all these crowds, all this muck, walks over it. What an expensive, radical gesture to show honor. The roads of Jerusalem weren't exactly pristine. They had needed more than a quick wash and a spin and a dash of vanish to get those hoof prints out. Now imagine then, laying down palm branches, cutting the branches and laying them down, stripping all the trees of their branches, laying them down in the road. This was a gesture of honoring a person. This was a, excuse me. This was a Middle Eastern custom. You covered the path of someone who was worthy, someone who was worthy of the highest honor. And why palm branches? Why do we call it Palm Sunday? If you go back in history, the palm branch was an ancient tradition or ancient traditional symbol of triumph. It was a symbol of victory. The entire city was there, not just to welcome him, but to see what the result of Jesus coming in was. The Messiah was the one that was going to bring them victory. The Messiah was the one that was going to overthrow the Romans. The Messiah was the one that was going to change everything forever. And why Jerusalem? Why not Rome? Rome was the capital city of the world at that time. Well, Jesus was a Jew and he came to reach those who belonged to God's house first, then to go to the world, to every tribe, to every tongue, to every nation. Jerusalem historically was known as the sacred city, a chosen city, the city of David. The place of blessing and peace. And this city had never seen an outpouring like this, never seen such a welcoming. Now, if they'd welcomed a Roman leader, this was done out of formality and obligation. You imagine, even nowadays, some of the parades that might happen in Russia or China or North Korea. There may be thousands on the streets, but they've all told to be there and exactly what to say and do. Some of them will have been paid. That wasn't what was happening here. The act of crying out the word Hosanna was special. It was a Hebrew word to express deep worship and praise. No Hebrew would ever have worshipped any man like this. Only God. So the fact that they are shouting Hosanna to Jesus indicates they knew he was the true anointed Messiah or King. Otherwise, what they were doing was considered blasphemy. And the penalty for blasphemy was to be stoned to death. And the last point, Jesus rides into Jerusalem on a donkey, on a colt, the kid, the child of a donkey. And he fulfills the prophecy. Okay, so question time. How many of you have ever ridden a donkey. And I don't mean the ones on Weston-super-Mare Beach. Donkeys are renowned for being stubborn, even the ones on Weston-super-Mare Beach. The ones on the Weston-super-Mare Beach have been carrying people since they were very young. They've been trained, they've been broke. You break a wild horse. But this donkey had never been ridden. So how is a small colt who has never been ridden going to cope with a man suddenly sat on it in those crowds? The expectation would be that it would kick and butt and fight, especially as Mark's gospel tells us it had never been ridden. Here is a raw colt. Now, as Rog reminded us, our rulers of today, they love their cavalcades. I mean, even King Charles this week, going to Germany, they flew the Royal Bentley in so he would have his car from the UK in Germany. I've once witnessed a presidential cavalcade when I was a kid. I saw President Nixon drive past from Norfolk Airport. I've never seen so many black cars. And that was then. The Roman rulers would ride into cities on elegant horses, in carriages, in chariots. They wanted to impress. So imagine Jesus, who is hailed as a king, riding on a humble, small colt. It's actually laughable. What humility. You see, Jesus didn't always use words to teach. His actions spoke volumes. I'm reminded at this point about King David. King David, it says he danced before the Ark of the Lord when it was coming into the city of David. And his wife, looking out a window, wasn't really impressed with him. And his response is, I'll become even more undignified than this. See, his response was, it doesn't matter what I look like, it's who I'm worshipping. How different to man's approach, which is all about what we look like. So Jesus could have done it the Roman way. He could have come in on an elephant. Not unknown, people of great prestige. Elephants were hard to come by, and if you did one, it was a really posh way of entering into a city. Now, we talk about Jesus riding triumphantly. This was a Roman triumph. A Roman triumph is exactly the opposite of what Jesus did. A Roman triumph was after a great battle had been won. The leader of the army, the emperor or whoever he was revered with a triumph. Hundreds of all his armies behind him, parading through the streets. Those they'd taken captive, stripped naked and dragged behind in a show that they had been overcome. And at the front, in a chariot pulled by four normally white horses, was the person who'd made all this possible, the person who was being revered. And they would have either their face painted red to represent one of the Roman gods, or a polished gold mask. Why? Because they were more than human. They were like a god. That's what the Romans did. Jesus isn't going anywhere near that. He rides in on a donkey. He could have chosen a horse. This is Prince Charles when he was Prince Charles at the Queen's Jubilee last year. Sorry, the Platinum Jubilee last year. But no, Jesus rode in on a donkey. Now, of course, I don't think this is just a physical story. We can look back at all of this and go, yeah, but so what? I think this is a story about how we receive Jesus and whether we let Jesus ride into our hearts. God doesn't send us some flashy, worldly king sitting on an elephant or a warhorse, someone who will make us fear, someone who will force us to submit to him. God sent us the Son of Man, the Son of God, Jesus. In the book of Philippians, there's a passage which in Bible school you'll be taught is kenosis. And it says this: though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privilege. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. And when he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. God came as a baby, a refugee, to a mum and born in a dirty smelling animal shelter, vulnerable, and grew up not in a palace. And this was ultimately, he could have chosen any way of doing things, but for his entry into Jerusalem, he chooses a donkey. He's made of the same flesh and blood as we are. And yet, Jesus walks amongst us without favor. Amongst the rich and the poor, the sick and the well, the criminals, the rejected, the marginalized, for you and for me. All he asks is that we open our hearts. He does all of this out of love. It's as simple as that. God loves you more than you can possibly ask or think or imagine. God thinks you are awesome. As the book of Colossians tells us, that Jesus was the visible image of the invisible God. There is only one God. And as long as the vacancy isn't advertised, we need to accept that we are human beings created by God, created for relationship with him, with a promise that when we are with him, we will never be alone. So just like that, that first Palm Sunday still brings hope today. It still brings happiness and inspiration, not just to the city of Jerusalem, but to the whole world. The final fulfillment of a world full of love and peace will be ultimately in what we hear as the New Jerusalem, the kingdom of God, when Jesus returns again and he is coming back. So what do we have to do? For now, all we've got to do is open our hearts and allow him to ride in. The triumphal entry into Jerusalem on a donkey, the fulfillment of prophecy, the precursor to the events of Holy Week, is also our opportunity to open our hearts and allow him to ride in as King, as God, as Lord, and as Savior. Palm Sunday gives you a glimpse of what the God who loves you, how he acts, how he responds. He's not in great power. He's with humility. And he says, I love you. Will you open your gate and let me in? And before you go today, I've got a palm cross for every one of you. And I just want you to... I'm going to need some scissors. There we go. I just want you to take one of these. Write your name on it. Put it somewhere where you'll see it. Remember what Jesus has done for you. And when you do, each time you look and say, thank you. And I've got extras here. So it might be that you've got a neighbor, a friend, family member, and you just say, Ashley, I want to take this for them. I want them to be reassured that there is a God who loves them and cares for them, rode into Jerusalem for them and rides into their heart for them today. Thank you for listening.